I am Dr. Naval Daver, and I'm live at the 61st ASH Conference in Orlando, Florida. Today, I will be reviewing the results of a phase 1b study of single-agent CD123 targeting antibody drug conjugate, IMGN632, in relapsed refractory acute myeloid leukemia and relapsed refractory BPDCN patients. The CD123 is a very important target for acute myeloid leukemia. It's expressed in more than 90% of patients who have AML, both newly diagnosed as well as relapsed refractory AML. And it is a well-differentiated target expressed heavily on the surface of AML cells as compared to healthy normal progenitor cells and stem cells, making this an attractive target. IMGN632 is a novel CD123 targeting antibody drug conjugate, which uses a unique DNA alkylating payload of a recently developed IgN class of cytotoxic compounds. The thing about this DNA alkylating payload that we believe is different and may make this drug better tolerated is that it induces single-strand DNA breaks rather than the usual double-stranded DNA breaks that we see with most other alkylating agents such as PBD. And the hope is that the single-strand DNA break will allow for earlier recovery of neutrophils and platelets. So this trial is currently ongoing. The trial is evaluating relapsed refractory patients with acute myeloid leukemia of all ages, and there is a second cohort looking at relapsed refractory BPDCN, which is a myeloid-based disease called blastic plasmacytic dendritic neoplasm. The trial has two different treatment schedules. We did a dose escalation looking at the different dose levels of IMGN632 given on a Q21 dosing. The dosing is outpatient. It's a 30-minute infusion. In general, the single agent has been well tolerated, especially at the dose levels A1 through A3, which are the lower dose levels. We did see three DLTs. These were VOD, veno-occlusive disease, which is basically an inflammation of the liver resulting from obstruction of the hepatic veins. These were all seen at higher dose levels, at dose levels A4, A5, which we are no longer evaluating. So the focus going forward is going to be looking at the dose levels A1, A2, A3 on a Q21-day schedule, and these seem to be quite well tolerated. The main side effect that we see at those dose levels is infusion-related reactions. These are in the form of itching, flushing, nausea, rarely drop in blood pressure, usually fully reversible, and we have not had to discontinue any patients due to this. In total, we have enrolled at this time 91 patients, of which 80 patients are AML and 10 patients are BPDCN. The response rate at this time is about 22% in the relapsed refractory AML as a single agent. What's encouraging is that we do see responses even in people who have adverse cytogenetics as well as in post-transplant setting. And especially when we look at the relapse population, not the refractory one, we see response rates of about 35 to 40% at the A2, A3 doses, which are the doses that we will be taking forward. So we believe that this is an active agent, overall well tolerated, can be given outpatient every 21 days. We don't see CRS that may be seen with some of the other antibody constructs and bispecifics. And we feel that there's a role for this to move forward, but mainly as a combination. And so we now will be proceeding with a combination approach. We have a poster here, abstract 2601, that will show the schema of the combination study that has just started, looking at three different combinations: azacitidine with IMGN632, venetoclax with IMGN632. These are both in relapsed AML, and then a frontline cohort of azacitidine venetoclax with IMGN632, as well as a MRD eradication cohort. So I think this study will be very critical to see if we can improve the response duration, MRD negativity, and survival over azacitidine venetoclax in a similar older patient population not fit for induction, as well as potentially see if there's a role for these combinations of immunogen with venetoclax or with azacitidine relapsed AML. And a lot of preclinical data done by Marina Konopleva in our group suggests that there is very potent synergy between the venetoclax and the IMGN. So we are hoping to have some data for this, hopefully by next year's ASH. So elderly patients in general are very difficult to treat. They have an AML phenotype that is often associated with adverse cytogenetics or complex cytogenetics, higher frequency of TP53, and drug resistance. They also don't tolerate high-dose chemotherapy well and have more toxicity and early mortality with high-intensity induction. It's even more difficult in elderly patients who are relapsed AML because now you have two highly risky features, which is one being older and one being relapsed. And so there is a dearth of available options for this population. We do have FLT3 inhibitors and IDH inhibitors that can still be given in older relapsed AML and are quite effective if one has those mutations, but this makes up about 30 to 35% of the total population. So for the remaining relapsed refractory AML, we are still looking for good options. This combination of venetoclax, a BCL2 inhibitor, and idesanutlin, a MDM2 inhibitor, is showing some early encouraging response data and tolerability data. So the study is basically allowing patients who are 60 years of age and above and have relapsed refractory acute myeloid leukemia, and importantly, they should not be considered candidates for cytotoxic intensive chemotherapy or transplant at the time of enrollment. The study is a phase 1b study, so the goal is really to identify the maximum tolerated dose, select the recommended phase 2 dose, as well as evaluate safety. What we are seeing is that the recommended phase 2 dose will likely be a combination of venetoclax 600 milligram with either idesanutlin 150 milligrams days 1 through 5 of each cycle, or idesanutlin 200 milligrams days 1 through 5. And the ongoing expansion of these two arms will help us finalize which of these two can be the recommended phase 2 dose. What we are seeing at this time is that overall the therapy is quite well tolerated. In general, we see the most common side effect, which is a well-known one with MDM2 inhibitor, is GI toxicity, diarrhea, and nausea. This is seen in about 50 to 70% of patients, but the good thing is that the grade 3 and 4 diarrhea and nausea rates are only 3 to 4%. And actually, once we started implementing routine antidiarrheal prophylaxis for the first 48 hours of idesanutlin in cycle 1, we have seen no grade 3 or higher diarrhea. So it is quite manageable with some proactive interventions for the first 1 or 2 days of treatment. The early mortality in this relapsed older population with AML is 6%, which is quite acceptable in the elderly high-risk relapse group. And this population in general does have multiple high-risk features, including adverse cytogenetics in about 40 to 50%, secondary AML features in 50%, and others. Now getting, of course, to the response data that we have presented here, at the recommended phase 2 dose cohorts, which are the venetoclax 600, either with IDESA 150 or with IDESA 200 on days 1 through 5, we have 33 patients enrolled at the time of presentation, and we see an overall response rate, which includes CR, CRI, MLFS, of about 50 to 55%. This is quite encouraging. Putting it into perspective, historically, in this older population with AML relapse disease, response rates are about 15 to 20% with standard chemotherapy or epigenetic therapy, usually with higher early mortality. So small numbers, but we think this is quite a promising strategy, and the study will be going into expansion with one of these two dose levels. The other important thing that we do see is that in patients who have achieved a remission but have not had count recovery, often allowing interruption of the venetoclax for 7 to 10 days under close monitoring after confirmation of bone marrow remission does allow for count recovery, and a number of the MLFSs we showed will actually get upgraded to CR/CRP. So we are now looking at schedules of either 21 days or 14 days venetoclax, which we think will allow for better CR/CRP rates. We've done a lot of baseline molecular profiling. What we find is that there are particular mutation groups, such as IDH1, IDH2, RUNX1, that are associated with high response rates to this combination. These are similar biomarkers that are predicted for high response to venetoclax with HMA as well. And then there are certain mutations, such as the ASXL1, FLT3, NF1, signaling kinase mutations that predict for resistance. Importantly, we did see that TP53 clonal selection was noted, as has been seen and shown in the lab with MDM2 inhibitors, and about 30% of patients had a detectable FLT3 allele burden at the time of progression. When we went back and looked at those patients, almost all of them did have a low-level TP53 clone. And so basically, we are seeing TP53 clonal selection over time rather than a emergence of a new clone. And I think we do need to monitor the TP53 allele on these treatments as patients continue. So the next steps for this are, importantly, there's a parallel study that has recently been completed, a phase 3 randomized study in relapsed AML of the same MDM2 inhibitor, idesanutlin, with ARA-C versus ARA-C alone. This is the MIRO study. We expect readout of this in the next few months.